It's a space race to the edge of the solar system. That's how one scientist described the nascent plans in the U.S. and separately in China to probe the vast stretches beyond our sun's influence. Some reminders: the heliosphere is the region of space dominated by the sun's magnetic field as it reaches out into space. We on Earth are traveling in that field. The heliopause is the area where the sun loses its influence. On the other side, interstellar space. Now, the Voyager probes were sent to cross over those outer limits of our solar system, but they're spending a lot more time crossing than scientists thought, raising the question, where exactly is the end of our solar system? That's what Ralph McNutt Jr. wants to know. He's chief scientist for space science at Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Lab, and he's lobbying NASA to approve plans for a $3 billion interstellar probe that could launch in 2036 if it can escape the yoke of Earth's gravity, not to mention its wary accountants. Oh, and it's a mission that would outlive Ralph. It could last 50 years. Ralph McNutt joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, you worked on the Voyager mission, went to Cape Canaveral, but now the hope was that Voyager would continue on into interstellar space, like the space between stars. And your proposal to do this is called the Interstellar Probe, or IP.
Right.
What is it you want to find?
Well, so the Voyagers were actually never designed to last as long as they have. They were actually designed to last 4.5 years. So they're going to be coming up on 45 years this month.
Oh, amazing.
So they've outlived their warranty by a factor of 10, which if you were building cars, you wouldn't be in good with your bosses right now. But so there are not optimum instruments on board the Voyagers for trying to make some of the measurements that we would really like to make to understand this interaction between our home here in space and the interstellar medium that is out there between us and the other stars. And so the idea with an interstellar probe is to actually take that next big dedicated step and to be able to actually redo all the science that we've been doing before with modern instrumentation and to go as far as we can, at least twice as far as the Voyagers, and go about twice as fast as Voyager 1, which is the fastest thing leaving the solar system.
Well, and it took years. And I'm listening to you, it's like Buzz Lightyear, to infinity and beyond. But, have I got it right that is one of the questions, that the heliopause, this distance before the interstellar space, might be a longer distance than you originally thought?
Exactly how the dynamics work is something that's always been a question. And the other thing we've learned is that Voyager 1 and Voyager 2 went in very different directions, yet they saw the heliopause at about the same distance from the sun. And this was sort of a question of, well, who ordered that? Because that sort of flew in the face of all of the preconceived notions we've all been carrying around for a good 50 years now.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot of mysteries out there about how that our home in space interacts with the interstellar medium, and the idea is to take that next step.
And what does it matter, knowing where the edge of the solar system actually is?
Well, it turns out that there's one heliosphere that's sometimes called an astrosphere that we know of that is habitable, and that's this one. And we know it's habitable because we're here. And, we've been looking out now for quite a few years and seeing all these exoplanets, planets that are around other stars. And one of the real questions, of course, has been, well, who else might be out there? Are there other civilizations out there? And sort of a piece of the puzzle is trying to understand how those systems interact with the interstellar medium and what are the implications for life elsewhere in the galaxy. It's also been a question of, we've now been around the center of the galaxy about 20 times since the solar system formed. And ever so often we go through other very dense clouds of matter. Dense is still something that would look like a vacuum in a laboratory on the Earth, but it's dense compared to where we are now. And some of these changes in the external environment could affect actually how much radiation exposure has gotten back to the Earth over the eons. And so maybe has something to do with how that we ended up on this planet to begin with.
Well, I'm actually reading in Richard Stone's article in Science recently about your IP proposal that we may learn, and it may be very unsettling, very chilling, we may learn why others have been wiped out, why species have gone extinct. So this is important information that you're going to get. And how you're going to do it, or how you propose to do it, is fascinating. Well, to take your probe, whip it around Jupiter for a gravity boost, then slingshot it to the edge of the solar system, but it would take 16 years.
Yeah, well, and that's a short period of time.
Wow. Yeah, faster than Voyager, yeah.
It would take about 6.5 hours to get from the Earth to the Moon. And yet, with that kind of a speed, we're still talking about decades to get out to these vast distances that we're talking about here.
Yeah, 50
space
years.
Space is really big.
Oh, I can't wrap. I mean, my head, you know. But here you are. This is your work. How do you wrap your head around a project that's going to be up in space for 50 years, many generations of scientists? Maybe
right.
Not you, ultimately.
Well, I'm definitely going to be dead before the year 2086. Okay. I can guarantee that. So, it's the cliche about, well, you have to take the long-term view, right? Well, consider the great cathedrals of Europe. Those were not built in a generation. They were literally built, some of them, over hundreds of years. Future generations will look back to 2022 and go, wow, this is something in the history books. So it's a matter of perspective and being able to kind of jump back and forth. And probably a lot of it has to do with the fact that I used to inhale science fiction novels when I was a kid.
That's right. Well, critics, point to that price tag, that $3.1 billion. Some critics are saying that this would suck all the money out of their coffers and would come at the expense of other work, including studying solar flares that can damage satellites, things like that, climate. First of all, what would you say to those critics? And then would you consider a private company like Blue Origin or SpaceX?
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, you're always looking for the best deal out there. I mean, ultimately, it's the American taxpayer that's paying for these things. And so, the question always comes up about, well, why are we wasting money on space? But, it's really not wasted because we have learned so much since the beginning of the space program. And you have to keep doing this. You have to keep challenging everybody. You have to keep giving them new challenges. It's like what Kennedy said about, why do we go to the moon? And we do it because it's hard, like rice playing Texas. And I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas. So, it's all a question of balance. And I think it's worth it because I think that you've got two choices. You can either step backwards or you can step to the future. And you step to the future by doing the new challenges and the new challenging things. And that's how you advance. And you either advance or decline. You don't really have a choice. You can't stand still.
Well, you say, yes, it could, say, where do we come from? But also, where are we going? You could map where the solar system is going. It's, 230 million year orbit around the galaxy.
Right.
But I'm wondering, too, this probe can also, in addition to looking forward, seeing, what's out there, it can turn around and take a picture looking backwards.
Well, that's exactly right.
What would we see? What someone said it's the most expensive snapshot in history, but what is it we would see? It would see.
Actually, there's two answers to the question. So one answer has to do with the fact that the Voyagers have given us a confusing picture of what that this overall interaction between our solar system and the local interstellar medium really looks like. By being able to be outside of the heliosphere and then look back with the so-called neutral energetic atom camera, we would actually be able to see what that the interaction looks like with the rest of space,
wow.
Which is something right now that we simply do not know. So that's one thing. That would tell us a lot about ourselves. It would tell us a lot about how other stars also interact with the interstellar medium. And the other thing that we can do is to look back at the Earth and really treat the, as we're going further and further away, to treat the Earth as an exoplanet on the same footing as these other worlds that we don't really know anything about, at least not yet.
Fascinating. Ralph McNutt, Jr., physicist and chief scientist for space science at the Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Lab. On his proposal, called simply the Interstellar Probe, or IP, to kind of probe outer space where the two Voyager missions left off. Thank you.
Thank you.
And while we wait for Ralph's pictures, maybe 50 years, we've got some images from the Voyager missions at hereandnow.org.